John here. Thanks for joining me at my dining room table. And speaking of dining room table, in just a minute, I'm going to tell you a little more of the story about this table I'm sitting at. But before I do that, I just wanted to thank you for your reaching out, your praying for me, for my family, for our staff, your encouraging words. As most of you may notice, we had some COVID exposure to our staff and myself, as well as one other staff member have tested positive for COVID. But to see the gracious response of our people, and so I'm so thankful and grateful for your encouraging words and your prayers on my behalf. And gratefulness. We're into November. It's hard to believe, but November, a time of Thanksgiving. And we as God's people are called to be thankful. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing some different things to be reminded of your goodness in our lives and the gratitude that we're to show as we share your love with the world around us. Over the last 2.5 months, we've been reading through the Psalms together, and I know many of you have joined with me in reading Psalms each day, and we'll be finishing the Psalms at the end of this month. But this week, some very powerful Psalms as we think of the goodness of God and reasons to be thankful, even in an uncertain world. One of the Psalms we looked at this week was Psalm 113, and I'd like us to read it. I'll read Psalm 113, just 9 verses, but a powerful reminder of the goodness and majesty of God. It says this, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord together, and let's pray and ask for his blessing as we look at his word today. Father, we are so grateful that you are Almighty God, and your majesty and goodness are evident all around us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to trust in you, even in uncertain times. Lord, we give you the glory, and we are grateful, thankful for your many blessings in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing to look at the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. But remember the story about the table? You know, everything we have has a story, and this table I'm sitting at has a fascinating story. Not too long ago, we were able to buy this table, but it was in really rough shape. And we had to have someone plane it down because it's over 100 years old. But some people had carved initials in it, and there were all kinds of markings and water stains. So we had it planed, the top of it, and then we sanded and worked and worked, and we finally got it to the place where we could stain it, this beautiful oak table. Well, after we stained it, we put on a sealer. And we thought everything was just fine, but we brought it into the dining room here, and we found out, however, that whenever any moisture got on the table, that rings would show from water rings from glasses or different spots, because evidently, and we still don't know why, the sealer didn't work properly. And so we had to take and sand it down again and do it all over again. Finally, the third time, with a different type of sealer, we were able to have a table that could endure even the messiest of times. Well, this table is great in our dining room in part because it's sealed, it's protected. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives is the Holy Spirit seals us. It tells us that it seals us to protect us and also We're sealed by the Holy Spirit as a promise. First of all, the protection of the Holy Spirit in sealing us and the protection we have in God through that sealing. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14 says this, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." We see that the Holy Spirit seals us in order to protect us. We saw that in verses 13 and 14 there in Ephesians chapter 1. And there are several ways that we are protected through the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The first is that the sealing of the Holy Spirit provides security. A seal was used to protect that which was sealed. If you remember in Matthew chapter 27, after Jesus was crucified, the religious leaders were worried that Jesus' followers would come and take the body and claim that Jesus had rose from the dead. So they asked Pilate to put a seal on the tomb. It was to protect that tomb from tampering. And so they were confident that with the guard and the seal that nobody could come and tamper with the tomb. It was protected from people around it. However, the religious leaders failed miserably. They failed in recognizing that although they could keep people from tampering with the tomb, they couldn't keep God from tampering with the tomb. And we know that Jesus Christ rose again, and the tomb is empty because of Jesus Christ. But that seal was used to protect, to make whatever is being protected secure. And the Holy Spirit, as a seal, secures us in God. Now, all three parts of the Trinity, of the Godhead, are involved in the security of us as his followers, as his believers. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, gives a great picture of the security we have in God the Father and God the Son. Jesus was speaking to his followers, and he said this, beginning in verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and no one is able to take them out of my hand." But then he goes on and says that my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to take them out of my Father's hand. It's like a double protection. We see the protection as Jesus holds us in his hand with a grip that can't be broken. But not only Jesus, God's Son, but then also God the Father wraps his hands around us. And we have that double unbreakable protection. But the Holy Spirit is involved in that security also. And part of his protection is the sealing of us as his followers. We can be confident that the Holy Spirit has sealed us if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit is a reminder of the security that we can have in Christ and through the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But not only are we protected in security, but we find that the sealing of the Holy Spirit demonstrates ownership. In Bible times, when a property was deeded to someone, it says that it was signed and sealed. Now, we're familiar with the signing. We sign off on a property or sign to take over ownership of a property, but it was also sealed. And the sealing was significant in that it documented the ownership of this new owner. And we are those people who belong to God. He is our owner. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and God is our owner. We are his possession. But not only does it provide security and demonstrate ownership, but we see that the sealing of the Holy Spirit provides authenticity. Jezebel and Ahab sent letters to the city leaders where Naboth lived. Now, if you remember this story from the Old Testament, Naboth had a vineyard. And Ahab, the king, really wanted that vineyard. So he went to Naboth and he asked that Naboth give him the vineyard. But Naboth chose not to do that. In fact, according to Jewish law, he wasn't supposed to do that. So he obeyed God's law and said, Ahab, I can't sell you this property. Well, that made Ahab very angry and very despondent. And so Ahab's wife, Jezebel, saw what was going on, and she asked Ahab for the opportunity to get involved. And part of how she got involved was that she took Ahab's ring, which was a sign of authenticity, and sent letters sealed with that signet ring to the leaders of the city who had Naboth improperly put in prison, or actually not put in prison, he was killed. But the authenticity of the seal gave the power for those rulers to lie and to falsely accuse Naboth. Now, the sealing of the Holy Spirit gives the authenticity of our belonging to God. It gives the authenticity that God's the one who is in control and he is protecting us from the harmful results of our sin. But we see that the sealing of the Holy Spirit also provides authority. In the Old Testament book of Genesis, we see the story of Joseph. If you remember, Joseph was sold by his brothers into Egypt and eventually was put in prison. But then Pharaoh had dreams, and the butler and the baker had had their dreams interpreted by Joseph while they were in prison with Joseph. And so the butler remembered that and told Pharaoh that Joseph could interpret dreams. And so Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And with the interpretation came the warning that there was going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of devastating famine. So Joseph had ideas on what should be done, and Pharaoh was amazed at the wisdom of Joseph. And so he put Joseph in charge of providing for and protecting the people from the famine. And one of the things we see in Genesis 41 that Pharaoh did to show that Joseph had authority was that Pharaoh gave him his ring, where he could use that ring to seal any documents. And with that came the recognition of the authority. Because we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, we are part of God's family, and we have the recognition of that authority being part of his family and the power of God evident in our lives. And so we see the protection of God demonstrated not only by God the Father and God the Son, but the protection of God that's demonstrated by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed by the Spirit. We have protection, but we also have the seal of promise. In 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, Paul writes this: "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us, given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." God has given us the seal of the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our redemption. That word guarantee in 2 Corinthians 1, same word that we found in Ephesians 1:14. It was the word that's used for something that is a earnest money. If you've bought a property, you've had to put down earnest money. It's a promise of your commitment to fulfill your obligation. And so we see when somebody purchases property, they put down this earnest money, this guarantee. a promise of fulfillment. Now, when we do this in our culture today, there's all of these out clauses. We have the out clause that usually there's going to be a property inspection. And if something comes up in the property inspection that could cause you to step out from your promise, there's several different exceptions that are listed in the documents. But God's seal of promise, the Holy Spirit in our lives, is put upon God alone. He is the one that is faithful. Now, we don't need any documents or extra promises or reminders to be confident that God will be faithful to keep His word. If you're writing out a contract for a property, you may be nervous that the person who is selling it to you maybe can't or won't provide what they've promised. Or the person buying it, if you're selling something, they maybe can't or won't keep up their promise of commitment. But God is a faithful God. God is truth. There is no lying in God, and God is all powerful. But as an extra reminder to us that God will keep His promise, He has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who indwells us, the Holy Spirit who guides us. And over the next 2 weeks, we will be looking at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and what it means to walk with the Spirit as the Spirit guides us. We can be confident that God is faithful because we see in Ephesians 1 and we see in 2 Corinthians 1 that God has promised us that the Holy Spirit will be our seal until we are fully redeemed. We have that guarantee, that promise of God. The Holy Spirit is our down payment to our future hope when one day we will be like Jesus Christ and this imperfect body will put on perfection and this mortal will put on immortality as we are made like Christ. But we can be confident that God will keep His promise because He has sealed us with His Holy Spirit. We can rejoice in that fact, that the Holy Spirit seals us. He protects us, and He reminds us of the promise of God. We can rejoice in that. Now back to the table. We enjoy this table. We play games at the table. We eat meals at the table. We talk at the table. It's a great place to gather together, and we don't need to worry because the table is sealed. We can relax. If I take water and pour it on, guess what? That water can't penetrate because the seal has protected the table. We can be confident that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we can have confidence that God is a God who keeps His promise, and that we will be redeemed as God continues to work in us and will one day find that we are glorified to be like Jesus Christ. Let's rejoice in the fact together that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and we can rejoice in His protection and His promise. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that as Almighty God, that You have sent Your Holy Spirit to be a seal for us, to protect us until one day we will be glorified. We are grateful for that seal of the Holy Spirit and the protection it provides for us each and every day and the promise of the future that we have in Jesus Christ. We are thankful and grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for joining with me today. I pray that you and your family are well. We look forward to meeting again in person next week, Lord willing. And I hope to see you then. And also as we celebrate Thanksgiving and look forward to all that God has done, let's be reminded of His faithfulness and the gratitude that we can have as those who follow Him. God bless you. Have a great week.